Welcome back, folks. This segment is brought to us by the Game Alert made by Hogman Outdoors and Pyramid Air, which is your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, folks, this is Luke. You know, this is the start of big things down at Lake Tewakinee and most any lake that's got a lot of blue catfish. October is always or is usually the start of the big trophy blue season. Now, we're fortunate today we've got Mr. David Hansen that just came off the water. David's guided at Lake Tewakinee for years and years down there and got a good update. The big ones have already started biting. David, are you standing by down there at the dock, buddy?
I'm here ready to go, man.
Well, thank you a lot. I know you've had a busy day and going to be busier as the day progresses, I'm sure. I've seen the pictures that you posted, maybe not the giant 70-pound fish, but the big ones have started biting, you know. I've seen that.
Yes, sir. They have, it's typical this early this time of October to start catching some of the fish. They tend to scatter, you know, from day to day. They might not be in the same spot tomorrow that you caught them in today, but the chances of you catching some good quality fish are really, really good in October, you know, from now on through to 1st of May. It just gets better and better with the cooler water temperatures, and, you know, the numbers of eater fish are really good right now until it really starts getting good and cold, so we can do eaters or trophy fish. It's just good fishing all the way around.
You know, if you were to plot the blue catfish bite on a graph, the graph would start out probably in October, early October, as the water temperature begins to drop, and that graph would spike up a little bit, and it'd get some big high spikes with some of them 50, 60-pounders, but it would be steady with most trips producing fish, you know, 15 to 25 pounds. And then as you get on into the winter, David, and that water gets colder and colder, it gets even better. So, but if I were to pick a time, or a type of fishing trip, I love to eat the blue cats, and I think most of our listeners do too. But I know, you know, it's common practice, and it's a must to release those big ones. But those fish under 10 pounds, now I've been seeing on your Facebook there picture, a lot of those size fish. To me, you know, that's ideal for someone that's looking for a big fish fry or several big fish fries, you know?
Absolutely. The quality of the eating is just outstanding. You know, it don't get much better than a pure white fillet off of blue cat. You know that.
I know that's a fact. Now, let's think about catching them, David. Now, folks are listening all over, you know, but I think most people that fish for catfish understand that there's probably not a better blue catfish lake in the state than Lake Tewakinee. Tips and all, I know when there's a hard freeze in the winter, when there's a shad die-off, you know, 2 or 3 days of a prevalent wind, the shads, dead shads pushed up shallow. That's one bite. And you already mentioned that you have to move around and look, but are you catching most of them at, you know, like intermediate depths right now, David, or are you still, you know, having to go deeper?
Well, most of the fish I'm catching are in from 3 to 5 feet of water. The better fish that I have caught have all been in the shallower water. There's some of the guys are out catching some big fish occasionally out drifting in the deeper water. I looked at quite a bit of deep water on this recent trip and didn't see much to go to look for. So, you know, I like the shallow water fishing anyway. So if you can go set up a spot and catch 15 or 20 fish, weigh 2 to 15, 20 pounds this time of year, you're doing something.
That's exactly right, and that's the prime ones that to target. How about structure, David? You know, are you fishing close to brush necessarily or more or less flat open water?
I always try to fish at least one side of the boat against the brush.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the fish have been coming, in this most recent trip, all of the fish except 4 or 5 came from within, you know, 2 or 3 foot of the edge of the button willows.
Yeah, okay. See, there's a great tip for folks listening to us that want to come down to Tewakinen and catching some catfish. Just find some, mm-hmm. some, you know, some heavy growth of willows in that depth of water. I guess if you could find it with the wind, well, we've had a south wind, but who knows what, you know, day to day, but have it where the wind is pushing into that brush. Would that be better? Or?
That's always your best bet. If you can get on that bank that wind's blowing into and fish those brush lines, you can't hardly go wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's good, and they may be 40 or 50 pounders in there today and 3 pounders there yesterday.
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
You know, day to day, you can hit those spots, and I've got 5 or 6 that I religiously hit, depending on which end of the lake I'm on.
You bet.
One of those spots, they're going to produce.
I've been there with you many times. I know exactly mm-hmm. what you're saying. Yeah. Yep. Now, let's think about the rig. How you're rigging up for them, David, and then maybe even mention the hook size and all that kind of stuff too. Some stuff that might help some people.
When I'm fishing for the eaters, most of the time I use a 5-aught circle hook. If I'm really trying to target the bigger fish shallow, I'll go to a 7-aught hook. And for the shallow water fishing, I always go to the Carolina rig with a 3.5-4 foot leader, 2-ounce weight. Little cork about 7 or 8 inches in front of your bait and your hook to hold it up while it's wind's working it out there like a fish swimming. You can't go wrong. And for the drift fishing, you just use half of the cork I use for drifting. I use for the shallow water rig. Put the whole cork on and put your Santee rig out with your what's that weight? Can't even think of it. My drifting weight,
like a no-roll sinker
well,
type.
No. For that drifting, I use the...
I know exactly.
I just went totally blind.
Yeah, well, what you're talking about is the what you used to do, and I think you kind of helped make this famous in a way, especially in our part of the world, is you take that boot lace and yeah. And put some double-aught buck in there, about mm-hmm. 9 of them or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put that in there, and it makes your snag-free weight, and yeah. clip it on a little snap swivel and put that on your main line. If you hang it up, you pull it off, and you get your hook and your fish back.
Exactly, yep. And the circle hooks, you even on fish that weigh 2 to 5 pounds, a smaller one, let them get a hold of it before you start basically don't start jerking on it. Just kind of let them tighten up and crank down and get that rod out of there and get them, right?
That's right. You have to just, you kind of bird dog him there for a little bit and wait and see what he does, take slack out, and when he takes it, crank down on him. You got it.
It's time to do it. Well, what we want to do, as always, David, is connect folks with you. I mean, that's what I've been all about since I first wrote my first outdoor column and started in the radio. Does little good for me and you to know all, about it and tell me without people being able to learn how to get with you and all that. But Facebook nowadays is yep. a great way to stay up on what you're doing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is a very good way of you know, reaching out to people, staying in contact with people you hadn't seen in years. You know, it's just a really good advertisement and everything. It has some downfalls, but I ain't going to get into all that.
Oh, yeah, I know. But that's, tell folks on Facebook, you know, what to like, you know, that to find you.
Go to David Hansen's Lake Tewakinen, or Little D's Guide Service, Lake Tewakinen Trophy Catfish.
Okay, Little D's, and that's just D-S, Little D's
right.
Guide Service, and they can find you right there. Yeah. Well, David, we're going to, and I tell you what, how about just dropping a phone number for people that might want to just do it old school like me and you, give you a call, you know?
903-268-7391.
Okay. And, folks, you know, in any of the radio shows I do, or actually the newspaper, outdoor columns, any of that stuff, if you need to get a hold of somebody, and I realize folks are driving down the road sometime and they can't remember, I can't, or not be able to write it down. Just remember, contact me, and I'll put you in contact with David or anybody else that's a friend on the show or a guest. Catfishradio.org. I'm real accessible through that. You can just fire me an an email, and I promise you I'll get right back with you. David, we're going to get off track just a little bit here, but I know that you love to hunt. You love to hunt deer, and I know you've been doing some bow hunting up here in northeast Texas. Have you seen any, bucks started rubbing back in August, actually, late August, all over this part of the world. I call them velvet rubs, but have you found any early scrapes or, you know, any attempts at scrapes yet?
I rode our whole place last week looking, you know, on the fence roads and everywhere where I normally find the scrapes and rubs and everything. I never found a scrape, and I found one little rub, but I'm seeing, you know, several does. Mm-hmm, you know, yeah. They're there.
the same as where I live. I'm a mile from what can be some really good deer hunting. But I've been staying on top of it, watching trail cameras. I've yet to see the first buck scrape. You know, it's a little early for that. But it has been known to happen that early. I have found them. But what I have found is a bunch of what I call velvet rubs. Uh-huh. A lot of sumac bushes, saplings, you know. Uh-huh. If you find over in your area, I can probably get out there on the ground with you and walk to the trees that's going to be rubbed. They love a cedar tree, especially if there's not a lot of cedars in an area. You know, David, you can go up and find, even in a stand of hardwoods, you can find one cedar tree, walk up there to it, and if it's quite a few deer in the area, you can usually find where they've been rubbing, can't you?
Yes, sir, you sure can.
Yep. Well, here's a little tip. And we're talking about fishing, but it's hard this year to get your mind off of deer hunting. I hadn't done a lot, but been so cotton picking hot a lot of these afternoons, but I've hunted a few mornings. I've seen some doe. I've yet to see a buck. The acorns are just starting to fall right now. And red oak acorns are always one of the first to drop. What I've done is started some areas that I hunt. I started dropping some corn, maybe 2 or 3 gallons of corn, just scatter it out around where the deer are going to find those acorns anyway.
Right.
I think somebody's trying to call in wanting to be on the show, but we're gonna keep talking, Dave. Put some corn out there, and then when the deer come into those oak trees looking for acorns, that'll keep them busy a while. You know, don't necessarily have to hunt around a feeder, and I seldom do hunt around a feeder this time of year, but that putting that corn on the ground in an area with acorns is a pretty good help, you know?
Absolutely, and if nothing else, it's slowing down for you to get your shot.
Well, that's it, and it keeps them in the area. One other little tip for bow hunting that I've done a lot, and I've even killed coyotes this way, is set your stand up with a little brush right in front of you where you can draw that bow when that critter stops behind it, Dave. You know, just that can be very helpful too. Man, I wish we had about 2 hours to talk. I'm just getting started good, but they're telling me we're out of time. David, leave your number again. Folks, this is David Hansen. He's been guiding down at Tuwakini for a long, long time. And if they want to hook up with you and go fishing, leave that number again, please, sir.
Reach me anytime at 903-268-7391.
Have you ever been down to Houston County Lake near Crockett down in deep east Texas? Some of the best fishing for a lot of different species that I know about. Crockett's Family Resort is right there on the shores. I want you to go online to crockettresort.com or for day-to-day fishing updates or information on their campgrounds or their cabins, 877-544-8466.
Folks, if you hunt hogs at night, I want to hook you up with Hogman Outdoors. They make some awesome night lights for rifle or bow. They also make the game alert that signals you when the hogs come into a feeder. Just a little red light that comes on, and when the light comes on, you get ready to make the shot. Visit them online, hogmanoutdoors.com. Folks, this fall hunting season, big bore air rifles are going to be legal to use in Texas for big game, deer, javelina, all kind of big game animals. I've been shooting the Texan, which is made by Air Force Air Guns, since the prototype come out. The Texan was the first production big bore air gun on the market that I'm aware of. Go online to airforceairguns.com. Check out the Texan Carbine, which is a shorter model of the original Texan. I shoot one in .45 caliber with a big 350 grain bullet, and it is a hammer for hunting hogs, and I'm really looking forward to taking some deer with it this coming hunting season.
Folks, that wraps our show up for today. Remember, you can go online to catfishradio.com, and there you can download the segments all this coming week if you miss something you'd like to hear again, possibly. If you have any hunting or fishing news from your area, I'd sure like to hear about it. You can email me through the website there at catfishradio.com. Until this time next week, have fun in the outdoors.